Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We got some really eyebrow shocking, disappointing news. Oh, were that it not the same every day. We've got some breaking news that I'm after the bottom of the hour break. As we come to the show with us from the American Economic Liberties Project. And I was supposed to be asking him about the trickle-down or the impacts, the domino effect of the big, brutal bill on the middle class. And we had so much economic news about the macro economy, I got distracted and forgot all about that. So thank you, everybody, for your patience. To summarize what we talked about in the first block here, basically, there is no China deal. It's just a prior agreement. Yes, inflation was cool in May, but all of these different factors, the knock-on impacts, if you will, of the chaos, of the uncertainty, of the big brutal bill, are going to start literally snowballing. And so as Bharat has explained to us, we're not really feeling the impacts of the chaos that Donald Trump has fomented. And unlike COVID, this was an unforced error. Any and all of the pain that you feel, the fact that prices aren't really coming down hardly at all, depending on what you're talking about, all of that responsibility lays entirely and exclusively at the feet of Donald Trump. Our economy will be creakier, if you will, like less robust, if and when we actually can peel back some of these tariff levels. As it stands, we're looking at some of the highest average tariff arguably the early 1900s, depending on how you're calculating them. So, my friend, please help us stitch together how the big brutal bill is going to make things worse on every freckly, but also fundamentally weaken our.
Yeah, I was saying to somebody earlier today, this is a nation of three or four individually highly unpopular end of the economy to one their bill. It's like, you know, the Volcano of, you know, I think with Medicare, it's insurance, low-income families rely on middle-income families, people with disabilities. And this bill will, according to expert projections, kick about 10 million people off of Medicaid.
And on the low end, right.
Yep. And that's right. And by failing to extend other tax provisions that made it easier for people to buy insurance on the, you know, Affordable Care Act exchanges, another 3 or 4 million people are likely to lose access to health insurance because of those changes. So conservatively, 13, 14 million people losing health insurance. Now, you might say, why do that? Well, it's because the Republicans have been desperately looking for ways to at least partially offset the cost of doing massive tax cuts for rich people. And what they have landed on is cutting hundreds and billions of dollars out of the Medicaid program by kicking people off of their health insurance saves the government money because they are not helping cover people's health insurance. And they're then funneling those savings into tax cuts for the rich. And just to underline how significant those tax cuts are, the average person in the top 0.1%, the top 0.1%, will receive a annual tax cut of $450,000 a year. Okay, so $450,000 a year annual tax cuts for the super wealthy. Meanwhile, lower income, middle income people lose their health insurance. And then you might say, okay, it sounds like that's horrendous, cutting health insurance to pay for tax cuts. At least one pays for the other. No, that's not. Tax cuts are so big and so generous to families that the bill overall still raises the debt by about $3 trillion. Okay, so if you don't like debt and deficits, for you, if you like people losing health insurance, this isn't the bill for you. You don't like big tax cuts for the wealthy on top of the previous tax cuts for the wealthy, this bill isn't for you. They're really not exaggerating. There's harm in this bill for the economy now. It's going to lead to bigger deficits over the long term. It's going to make our inflation more unsustainable. It's going to put pressure on Medicare and Social Security going forward because we'll have less money coming in. And it's going to be really damaging to the well-being of all these folks who rely on Medicaid for health insurance.
It's just shocking to me. The only people who reasonably support the bill in my opinion, are the top percent. And even doesn't hold water because no billionaire ever met gives about a half a mil. And very, it's action as well. I don't understand why conservatives, especially deficit hawk conservatives, are lining up behind this. What do you place the odds? What are you hearing from other folks watching the brutal bill, watching the process, a couple of passing, some between the Senate and the House version? Do you think that the in large part, the strokes of what we're going to end up with in the end?
More likely than not, when these things, it's kind of hard to get them off track. That said, a poll came out today showing that this has about 25% approval and 53% disapproval already. And the more unpopularity it gains, maybe some of those swing district folks start to walk away from it. So don't give up. Keep fighting against it. Keep let people know what's going on. And it's not too late. Remember what happened with the Affordable Care Act in 2017. Stop that with one no vote in the Senate.
Thank you, Senator McCain. And thank you, Bharat Ramamurthy, Senior Advisor for Economic Strategy at the Economic Liberties Project. I'll be back with breaking news and your calls next on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842.